Cardiff, you remember this Schoolhouse Rock video about how a bill becomes a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's
It's over. Yeah. And this got us thinking about tariffs.
Of course.
Yeah. Where do tariffs hang out?
We're kind of weird here at The Indicator. Anyway, but we were thinking about this because tariffs have been dominating the economic news this summer. Of course, Trump has imposed hundreds of billions of dollars worth of tariffs on goods from China. Also, new tariffs have come down on things from Mexico, Canada, and Europe. Turns out, tariffs do not hang out on Capitol Hill.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stacey.
Tariffs, they hang out actually in Newark, New Jersey. At least some of them do. In a big blocky building with lots of beige carpet. A blocky building that hides something truly, truly awesome. This is The Indicator. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, I'm just a tariff in Newark, New Jersey. I'm just a tariff.
Lacks a bit of the,
Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. And I'm, what rhymes with New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient, and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here.
When an administration puts new tariffs in place, new import taxes, they end up here. And that is today's indicator. That is the sound of 3,728 pages of tariff law dropping onto a conference room table in the U.S. Customs and Border Protection building in Newark.
Dropping from only like 2 inches off the ground, by the way. Yeah.
It's hard to lift.
Yeah, specifically, those pages were in the harmonized tariff schedule of the United States of America. It's almost a foot thick.
Linda Burke and Mitchell Landau work for Customs and Border Protection. It is part of the Department of Homeland Security. And in fact, there was a Department of Homeland Security seal on the wall of the conference room where they met us. And, you know, everything in this building looked very quiet, very beige. But a lot of tariff action for the whole country happens in this building.
We asked Mitch to show us what a tariff looks like, or actually all the tariffs in one place.
It's a very, very big, thick book. And in it, there are numbers. Those numbers indicate a description of every article that can come into the United States of America.
And when we say every article, we mean everything from abaca fibers. Those are made from a banana plant, apparently. No tariff on them.
Thankfully.
To zithers. That is a stringed instrument. 3.2% tariff on a zither if you want to import one from somewhere.
But Linda and Mitch are not responsible for zithers. they deal with apparel, footwear, and textiles. But for those three categories, they deal with imports of them for the entire country.
Which is a huge job. That is billions of dollars worth of shoes and purses and jackets and handkerchiefs and dresses and skirts coming into the U.S. every year. And the new set of tariffs that Trump has threatened against China include a lot of new tariffs on apparel, footwear, and textiles.
And all those new tariffs do mean more work for Mitch and Linda. Right after President Trump's announcement, the phone started ringing from companies that import stuff from China who were calling with questions. And it was a lot of companies. These are department stores, big warehouse distributors, even restaurants that order uniforms for their waitstaff, or anyone else who imports clothes or, say, shoes from China. Yeah, a lot of calls.
Until the entire importing community is educated on the changes, our work does slow down quite a bit.
Are people calling like, I don't understand, does this count?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, like a shoe store might call and ask, hey, are the sneakers that I'm importing going to be subject to the new tariffs? Am I going to have to pay a higher import tax on them? This can all be pretty confusing because the difference between the things that do get an import tax and the things that don't sometimes can be really small.
Well, for example, we just kind of randomly opened it up. We're in Chapter 62. So that is comprised of men's or boys' suits, ensembles, suit-type jackets, jackets, blazers, trousers, bibs, and brace overalls, breeches, and shorts.
And under this weird, broad category is a list of all the tariffs that apply to men's suits, boys' suits, breeches, shorts, the works.
For example, the first subheading is 6203.11. So that's only going to encompass suits, of wool or fine animal hair containing 30% or more by weight of silk or silk waste. And then you could see that it has to have an average diameter of 18.5 microns or less.
Oh, a fiber diameter of 18.5 microns?
Right.
A micron is just a way to measure fibers. Microns are tiny. So, for example, in this case, 18.5 microns is 0.00073 inches. So, for example, if the fiber is 0.00074 inches or more, you're aces. That tariff does not apply to you. So there's money riding on that tiny fraction of an inch.
These are not easy things to determine at all, and that's why I was saying a lot of times these things can wind up in court.
Tariff court. Okay, so here's how this works. Mitch and Linda and their team are keeping track of all of these thousands of cargo containers that are coming into the U.S. every day, on ships and trains and trucks.
So they use these like special computer models to help identify suspicious imports. Now, Customs and Border Protection doesn't actually reveal like the variables that get put into those models. But for example, if a company has cheated before on its imports, that is something that the model would take into account. So its imports might be more likely to get inspected by Customs and Border Protection. But separate from that whole process, right? Let's take a hypothetical example where there's like this big suit chain in Kansas called Kansas Suits, Inc. And it's importing a bunch of suits from China to sell in stores all over the country. And the suits that it is importing seem kind of suspiciously close to that 18.5 micron count, right? So Customs and Border Protection decides to inspect that shipment.
And, you know, the Kansans might say, no way, man, you're crazy. These fibers are at least 18.7 microns in diameter. We were not going to pay the new tariff. Mitch and Linda will have those suit fibers tested.
So we'll send that to the lab and they will analyze and they'll tell us, well, what's the breakdown of the fiber content?
Wait a minute. You blew my mind. There's the equivalent of a CSI lab, but for trade, right here in this building?
They wouldn't let us see it.
Sadly.
I'm sorry, Cardiff. But, you know, it was there somewhere in that big beige building. There is a CSI lab where they are testing suit fibers.
Yeah, and in that lab, all kinds of things are done by the scientists, not just fiber measurements. To be clear, they do other things for the Department of Homeland Security. But those scientists also do fiber measurements. They also do testing for the DNA of fish to see if it's like tilapia or catfish or something like that. And they see if maybe some medication coming into the U.S. from overseas is legit.
But back to Kansas Suits, Inc. Let's say the lab tests the fibers and says to Kansas Suits, sorry, man, microns don't lie. You're going to have to pay the tariff.
If they still disagree, then they take us to court. And we wind up in the Court of International Trade, or it's known as the CIT. We will have to submit documents, and then a ruling will come down from CIT.
Most companies, though, will not go through the CSI import lab or end up in court. We just honestly thought that was super cool and had to mention it. Most of the companies affected by the new tariffs will just figure out which category their imports will fall under, and they'll pay the new import taxes.
And this can be a lot of money. In the case of our fictional company, Kansas Suits, Inc., they are likely to either raise the price of their suits in the store to make up for the extra import taxes they're paying, or if they don't want to do that, they'll probably cut costs elsewhere, like maybe close a few stores or hire fewer people.
Tariffs can be big money. After the IRS, Customs and Border Protection is the biggest moneymaker for the U.S. It's kind of a distant second place, but it still does bring in more than $40 billion a year. And with all the new tariffs, that amount is likely to get bigger.
And all of this is going to mean more work for Mitch and Linda. And it's going to mean that the great tariff tome will get even longer and even more action-packed than it already was.
Yeah, it's not exactly a page-turner as is.
But there's some cool stuff in there.
There's even a heading for Moonrock, okay?
Yeah. Really?
Even NASA has to make a... Everyone has to declare to customs upon coming into the United States.
Like if they import something from the moon?
Yes.
What's the tariff on a moon rock?
It was free.
Yet it still has to be declared and entered and released.
They're very serious about their tariffs.
They really are. Like, even moon tariffs.
There's
moon
no
rock
you
tariffs.
Don't, you don't laugh like, at the tariffs.
You don't mess around with that.
Even if they're zero.
I just love the contrast between how matter-of-factly they answered the question and how, well, out of this world it is.
Oh!
Boom!
Oh.
That there's a tariff on Moonrock.
I know.
We are nerds.